my gosh. Well, hello everyone. Hello. It's Small Town Talk. I'm Eric Gouge.
I'm Jamie Gouget.
And welcome to Small Town
Talk.
Yeah, so on that note, we still don't have a intro song. Yeah, so that's happening. Well, it's been a couple of weeks since we've last broadcast.
Really lacking.
So we said 2 weeks. Well, it's been about 3.5, maybe 4. But you know what? It's because we have a life. And so this week, we've got some stuff going or happened in Edmonds. We had the car show just got done.
You went to that.
How'd it go? Went to the car show. It was good. It was a lot of cars. My whole family was there in force of all their cars, minus mine and some others because it was threatening the rain and stuff like that. But it was good. Lots of cool cars. Same cars we've always seen. Yeah, it was good. You know, it was a car show.
Well, that's
good. Ate at Claire's. They had breakfast at Claire's. Bacon was good. That's all I had was bacon. Shared bacon with my son.
So solid day.
Solid day. Jackson did well. He was happy. Just every walking down, just car, 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 car. That's all I heard for an hour and a half.
People thought there was a crow lingering.
Car, 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 car.
The car show was haunted by a crow this year. No, it was
and he
just
sounded like a 3-year-old. Jackson. He got a balloon that made his day, you know.
No, it's a fun event for families.
So. It was good. It was cool. And it was sunny out. It was nice the whole day. It was
rare.
Yeah, you couldn't complain. And it was not cold. It was good. It was fun. So it went well. I didn't stay for the end. I don't know who won anything. But I imagine it was a good success.
Good day.
But if you haven't ever been to the car show, you should always come down. It's kind of a cool thing. See lots of people.
I'm just going to like meander around.
Meander around the streets of Edmonds. It's like what we want for some events to be on Main Street, just hanging down the whole street and up Fifth Avenue and stuff. And it's really nice. And go in the shops, go get food.
Meander into a restaurant, a bar, a clothes store.
A real estate company.
Wow, way to drop that in.
Yeah. No, it's cool. Right, moving on. It was fun. Continue.
So we're coming into fall, falling into fall.
It's about time. I'm so glad that we're done with sun.
So the Scarecrow Festival is coming.
Yep.
Is it just a business
thing? No, it's open to everyone. Anyone who's anyone, you just have to go on and register your Scarecrow. I don't know if you have to pay anything. It's at the Edmonds Museum.
Is that who's running it?
Is running it. And you can sign up. You can, if you have a house, you can do it. If you have a business, you can do it. We're doing it at our business at Cole Banker Bain in Edmonds. I know a ton of people.
I think everyone should do it because it's going to be super fun. It's always funny because I like that everyone is like a little bit sarcastic with the Scarecrow. And then also that it's funny.
Yeah, that's very true.
It's a lot of themes.
Ours, I can't let the secret out yet because, you know, we're in a competition, but it's going to be pretty good. Ours has got a lot of meaning to it this year, apparently. So just look out for our Scarecrow. There's going to be a lot of pink involved. That's all I can divulge right now.
Okay, so it's coming up next is going to be Edmonds kind of Halloween.
Yep, we got the Halloween coming up. And we also have, we're going to have our Halloween extravaganza too. The weekend before Halloween, we're going to be offering free pumpkin carving to kids, a free movie at Edmonds Theater. There's going to be like face painting and there's going to be all stuff. And that's going to be behind our office and the parking lot where I have signs up. It's going to be on a Sunday.
Super fun.
Yeah. So if you want a free pumpkin, you want to come down, they'll all be ready to, all the guts are out. You can just carve it. Kids can carve it. There's like 120 pumpkins.
I just like that you keep calling them pumpkins.
Pumpkins?
A pumpkin.
Pumpkin. It's just.
If you want a pumpkin, we got it.
Pumpkin?
No, you were saying pumpkin.
Pumpkin. I'm just saying it the way my people say it, okay? Pumpkin.
Okay.
The North Dakotas.
Well,
pumpkin.
Pumpkins will be available behind the office.
Or if you want a pumpkin, you can get a pumpkin.
It's hard to decide. Anyway, and then after that, you know, on the day of Halloween, as everyone knows, we have the big festival.
Big festival. And I'm sure we'll talk about it again on another podcast.
Yeah, but it's good for everyone to be prepared and that, you know, 5th and Main is, you know.
Closed.
Closed. All the businesses hand out candy. Get prepared. Get ready. Costume contests.
We give out like literally, I think we gave out 4,000 pieces of candy last year.
I hope it was to one kid.
No. It was one piece to every kid.
Okay.
4,000 pieces almost.
No, it's really fun because you know what? It's like no matter what school the kids go to, everybody gets to see each other and all the parents get to see each other and it's not split up by neighborhood. It's like really a community event. So
it's kind of crazy how many people go now.
It is, but
it's a little overwhelming.
It's nice, though. I think it's really nice event. I really love that our community does this.
I like to walk down. I'm not looking forward to when Jackson actually wants to go get candy. Because so right now, our son doesn't even really care about it. Doesn't even understand what's going on with it. Not into the whole walking around in a giant circle of Main Street and Fifth Avenue picking up candy. So we just get to walk in, take some pictures, see people, and then we get to get out of there, and we're not stuck down there for 2 hours with 10,000 people.
Well, but what if all your friends were down there, because all your friends' kids were down there, and, like, you became friends with all those people, and, like, what a nice time. You're like, wow, all our kids are, like, playing together, eating their candy, and then at the same time, all those parents are hanging out, having a good time. Maybe we go into a restaurant, have a meal. What a nice day we're having. It'll be great. What a nice Halloween.
When that day happens, or our kids are all that age, it'll be perfect. Watch
Fox Family Channel.
Fox Family Channel. I don't think that's
31 Days of Halloween.
I think the Family Channel is no longer. I think it's called like Freeform or something now.
Whatever.
Just throwing that out there.
Anyway, I think it's a nice event for Edmonds.
Yeah, so lots of events coming up. Also, some other events.
Well, I think also notably, which is going to come up in this podcast, is
food drive.
I was going to say Schubert's food truck should be up and running by Halloween. So people will be able to go to Halloween, get their kids will get to go to candy, but the food truck they said would probably be there.
Cool.
Pending permits.
Yeah, hopefully. We'll see. If the county will just let them do this, you know, it's all up to that. So hopefully they'll make it in time. And then also they're having a food drive.
Starting November 1st.
November 1st.
Through the day before Thanksgiving.
Through the day before Thanksgiving.
They're going to match the food cans that you can drop it off at any of the Schubert Market. / Salt and Iron / Bar Dojo, the food truck, Shoobidoo Catering.
Cool.
So drop that will your food off.
That'll be talked in an episode later. And also, you know, I just thought of, we've got some big big things changing in Edmonds food scene as well right now. We've got Calypso.
Oh, we don't know anything about
that. I know, but hey, Calypso, if you listen, hit us up so we can talk about it.
Would love to get you on.
Cafe de Perry. No mas. Bittersweet for some people.
Also, Calerno.
Calerno.
Coming in hot.
Coming in hot up on Main Street. Main Street's just two new businesses are going to be opening up very someday here. And pretty cool. Lots of stuff changing. So, well, with that. Anything else?
All the details, I think, for everything we talked about are going to be in the podcast following. But I think everyone get involved, get into the community. With that being said, listen in and enjoy this podcast.
With Andrew and Schubert from Salt and Iron Bar Dojo, Shoobidoo Catering, and now...
The Market.
The Market. Oh, and The Market. And that, we also talk about that later, too. And also...
The new food truck.
The new food truck. So enjoy. Goodbye.
Bye. Well, hi guys. We're here with Schubert and Andrew at Salt and Iron. And
How's it going?
Great.
It's always an awkward intro at the beginning.
Right.
Did you guys find a jingle yet?
No. Yeah, I'm still the jingle.
You're still the jingle, so.
It's usually after a glass of whiskey.
Yeah.
It's a good time. Drinking me, and then I can come up with a pretty good jingle.
There you go. We have whiskey in the bar right now.
We do, yeah. There's quite a bit back there.
It's 9:30 in the morning, though.
Yeah, I know.
You can start the jingle right
now. Friday, though.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere, right?
So we're here to do a little catch up and check in, and so I think we want to see how the market was going so far. We're a couple months in.
Yeah, how is it?
It's going great. The summer was really good to that spot. The walk-up window and the fact that it's quick service and very different from any of our other concepts of casual fine dining. So new territories and new experiences for us, for sure.
How's the feedback been from people?
It's been pretty well received. We had some nice write-ups in Seattle Met and Seattle Times about possibly having some of the best fish and chips in the greater Seattle area. So that's nice to hear.
Yeah, I saw something too. Like someone was like, lobster rolls, like one of the best I've had
ever,
besides being in Maine and stuff. I mean, that's cool to have happen. I mean,
no, definitely. The response of the food's been pretty solid. I think most people are excited about, what we're bringing to the table and just the fact that they can also get some fresh fish, in the spot as well. So
the lobster roll is a funny thing, though. Everybody has an idea of what the lobster roll should be. And for the most part, people like it. But you get these individuals that say, that's not a lobster roll. It should have this and that on it. And I'm like, well, there's lobster and it's in a roll, so it's
a lobster roll.
It's our take on a lobster roll, but...
What's been the most unique addition that they think should be added?
Sometimes they say there should be... It just should be drenched in butter and put in the roll and nothing else on it, kind of thing. So they want it oversimplified, done well. And I get that. They just want to taste the lobster for what it is. But these are like 3/4-inch chunks of lobster.
You can't taste the lobster.
It's flown in every other day from Maine. Yeah. And, they come in live and we crack them. And they're the freshest you can get other than going to the local grocery store and getting it out of a tank.
Yeah.
These guys are still moving. And we really prepare them well.
It's one of my favorite things on the menu. I don't even know where else you could get a lobster roll around here.
I think there's a restaurant in Seattle that does it. Oh, Whidbey Island.
Oh, really?
There's this company in Langley. There's this restaurant in Langley that does lobster rolls as well.
Oh. Yeah. So pretty few and far between for getting a lobster
roll. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a cheap item, so. Is the price going to warrant the purchase of it, but I think I think we do a pretty good job with it. It's just a matter of people's perception sometimes.
And actually, a lobster roll here right now, like I feel like I've met so many people that are from like the Northeast that have like moved out here, for their families, and like they're probably loving that they can get a lobster roll now.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, I think one thing that sets our lobster roll apart is that the essential baking brioche bun that we use, and it's traditionally done on hot dog bun with the sides cut off.
Yeah.
But we kind of elevate that with the nicer bread.
Yeah, it's so good, and it's crispy, but then soft, and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what I'm having for lunch now.
Hey! I'm sure. I gotta go home and watch the kids.
I remember you saying it might break your budget. Just right across the street.
She won't even tell me, and then I look at the bank statement, I'm like, damn it!
I went the other night. I came home early from our vacation, and I was like, where am I going to go? I'm like, well, I might as well just go down to the market right now and get some tacos. And it's a dangerous place to go. It's so easy, too, now that you can call in. You just call it in, it's ready.
You can call in. You can go online and order. Yeah. And the thing is, there's no easy parking right in downtown at that spot. And there's a lot of people that hang out there because of Starbucks and a lot of the restaurants in that core.
Yeah.
So we are trying to make it as easy as possible for you to call in or walk up to the window and have your food right away, and you can just pick it up and take it home.
I wonder if the city would do like a 15-minute special loading spot or something.
Right? I don't know. I thought about, hey, maybe we could just run out to the car as they drive by.
Yeah.
Yeah, wait. Some of the restaurants have like pickup spots. Yeah. Right. Like PF Chang's.
You do have across the street, you do have the 15-minute loading spot right next to the baby store.
Oh, that's true.
There you go.
Now everyone parks there for like at least an hour, but
right. I know.
That's funny.
Yeah.
And then you guys have been adding some different specialties sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. So I think I saw some sushi rolls and...
Yeah, well, we have that market burrito that's been on the menu.
Been on the menu, yeah. It's delightful as well.
I have yet to try that yet.
It's pretty reasonably priced as well for what you get out of it, so it's kind of fun because it's... I think some people don't realize that it's actually a sushi roll in terms of being the market burrito, but once you get it, I think it's a hard one to pass up. It's
pretty, yeah.
There's three different kinds of raw fish in there, and tobiko, and a bunch of vegetables, and avocado. I mean, it's like the best of everything that you would call in a sushi roll.
Yum.
But simple and delicious. And what we're really focusing on right now is moving into the fall and winter months. It's no longer summer, so you know the foot traffic kind of dies down, and we'll rely on people that go to coffee shops locally and want to fulfill that warm, comfort food feeling.
Yeah, yeah. So, bet your chowder sales will go up.
We're hoping the chowder will hold us over till the next summer season and implement a bread bowl for the chowder and the stew and a seafood ramen.
Ooh,
so you get like seafood ramen to go in the wintertime out the window, and you can just walk around downtown with a warm bowl of ramen soup. Just, upscale cup of noodles,
geez,
right?
Yeah. Where did you come up with this stuff, right?
Our chef Hans Krampus over there is fantastic.
Yeah.
He's got some great ideas. So I'm excited to taste. We're going to do a tasting next week on...
That's exciting.
The fall winter menu.
I'm excited too.
I bet everyone is. Yeah.
And then did we want to get into the food truck stuff, or did you have any other stuff about the market you wanted to talk about?
We're in permitting right now for an extended patio in our parking spot.
Yeah.
So, you know, that gravel lot behind the fence, we're going to relinquish our parking spot for another 30 seats on the deck. Because right now you can't drink on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
You know? And so we want to provide a place where people can do that and have a beer or a glass of wine out on our on our deck and eat out.
Right, and that kind of food goes hand in hand with like outside.
Those 40s of rosé are selling like crazy.
Yeah, if you didn't know, if you're listening, they have 40s of rosé. Yeah.
It's actually really delicious.
Yeah, it is. It's a good rosé. I mean,
we have Muscadet as well.
And Muscadet, yeah.
Technically, it's 32 ounces, so don't get so upset if you find out that it's not 40. It's just in the 40 form. It's a 40-looking bottle.
Right.
But yeah, it's been kind of popular, which has been kind of fun. Someone peeped it out when they did a oyster trip up north. I think it was Alex, our general manager, and Hans. They went up there and they saw it, and so we decided we wanted that at the spot because it just makes sense.
Yeah.
Especially for the casual environment of a fish market.
It's so funny too, because one day I remember I went in there and I think it was like in that first like week, and I'm like, oh yeah, my wife's coming down here, and you're like, oh, she's already here, and then she's like, hey. She's in the back with her friend, like drinking the 40.
Yeah, right.
Like,
oh, drinking 40.
Like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on?
I know.
It's cool. I mean, it's cool that you have that, you know, stuff there that's not just like, you know, that you have beer and wine and you can.
Well, and that'll be nice too, because then there'll be extra seating.
Yes.
Than just the counter, so.
Right.
And it's been a challenge trying to get, you know, on that slope to a certain degree. It's a little bit of a challenge to get, you know, stability. So being able to have like a flat space will be a lot easier in order to like create a little bit more solid.
You could just have extendable chairs. You could just like extend the back so that absorbs the ankle.
That whole sidewalk between from us and to Starbucks, it's all public seating. You know, we're allowed to put our tables and chairs out there as long as we allow the public to sit
there.
Anyone can use them, and you know, we're okay sharing it with whoever wants to sit there. It just creates a nice community vibe, and you know, I don't care if there's a guy sitting there with a cup of coffee. They're great neighbors to have. Mm-hmm. So it benefits us both to create that kind of community. But the deck is going to be great for those who want to drink alcohol outside under the sun or in the rain.
Do you plan on having that open hopefully by in the spring or summer or something like
that? We're going to definitely want it open by spring of next year. Mm-hmm. But, you know, permitting. Gotta love permitting.
Fast track it, city. If anyone from the city's listening, let's just fast track this so we can all sit out on the deck.
Come on, guys.
It's just a deck. It's gonna be okay.
Yeah.
But safety first, of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're only gonna be able to drive like a Toyota Tundra on top of it.
Right.
It's gonna be so overfilled.
Yeah.
But
back to the wine thing, we have this new thing that we implemented about a month ago called waiting wine. I don't know if since you guys have come in more recently, if any of the cashiers have asked you, would you like a glass of waiting wine while you work for your, or while you wait for your to-go order?
Or work for it.
Work for it, yeah. and this has come up because some customers have requested a glass of wine while they work for their to-go order, but it's kind of too big to have, you know, in a quick amount of time. Mm-hmm. So we pour you a half glass for, what is it, $4?
$4, yeah.
That's nice.
And it's, you know, it's cheap, it's easy, and we say, hey, would you like a waiting wine while you work for, why you work, wait for your food.
So you keep thinking about your role.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You need a waiting wine.
Right, I need a waiting wine.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they have this nice little glass, and then they're off with their bag of fish and chips.
That's so awesome.
Nice little, like a tasting wine, you know, like getting a little taste while you wait.
Yeah.
Type of deal. The waiting wine is a great idea.
And our beverage director, Jin, was recently promoted from bar manager here at Salt and Iron, will be kind of switching out those glasses of wine every now and then so people can try new stuff while they're waiting.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's trying to accelerate just the wine program a little bit as well, just to make it like worthwhile. So if you're coming in, especially if you're coming in to get some fish and you just want to get a, you know, reasonable priced bottle of wine, it's really there. It's not, you know, over the top in terms of.
Yeah, how much are our bottles over there? Only 10, 15 bucks?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we definitely have stuff that are 12. I mean, there's stuff that's in the 20s, but for the most part, we're trying to keep it on a level where it's like really easy to, you know, get a bottle of wine to enjoy with your meal and not have to like break the bank.
Yeah.
Because we're not a restaurant, full service restaurant there, so a lot of the costs associated with dining in a restaurant where, you know, your bottles of wine start at $30 aren't there. So that's why we're able to charge less, and it's also a quicker service. Mm-hmm. So, it's a real value to dine there compared to some of the other places in Edmonds.
Yeah. Well, and it's nice, too, that it's so quick. I mean, like, when I went there the other day, it was, you know, I got the soup and fish tacos, and there was a line, and I waited maybe, like, 7 or 8 minutes outside, you know? And it was, like, it was really quick and easy to get home, and, you know, I didn't grab wine. But
next time.
Yeah, definitely.
But, it's perfect for that, you know? Yeah. It's nice to be able to go somewhere and get food quick and not have to wait. You know, like, I feel like some places you have to wait, like, forever, right? You know? And that's, like, it's a restaurant. Like, if you get to go order from a restaurant, a normal restaurant, it's going to take, you're in line if there's other people eating.
At the restaurant,
It's pretty amazing when you go in there, though. It's always so, everyone in there is really active. I mean, you guys have so many people back there working, too. It's kind of fun to watch and be, like, kind of a part of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cracking those lobster shells take forever. I mean, they're getting really fast at it, but it's it takes one person to do that all morning to fulfill that day's worth of lobster.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And then we have the oysters out of the window, too. You can buy oysters for $2 each, unshucked, or $3 shucked. Okay. With condiments on the side included with it over a bed of ice. And that's kind of gained popularity, especially through the warmer summer months where somebody wants half a dozen oysters and over a bed of ice and is just going to walk down the street.
Yeah.
What we had envisioned is happening, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so cool. What was I going to say? I know, I feel like oysters, they'll go all year long. I mean,
they do, yeah.
It's not just summer.
No,
the cooler months are even better for it because the waters are colder and oysters are fresher.
They're fresher, I definitely think the idea surrounding people taking them unshucked is a great idea as well, because we offer a shucker as well, a nice, like, solid shucker, so you can get your game on a little bit and learn how to do it yourself, because it's not overly hard, but it's a nice thing to practice that. Just make sure you got a good mitt.
Yeah.
So you're not stabbing yourself in the hand.
So when you go
up
to Chuck Nut Drive and you're at Taylor Shellfish, you can practice here before you go up there.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Those are the same shuckers we sell, too, from Taylor.
Okay.
Those blue-handled shuckers, and they've chosen the right shucker for, the most basic use.
Once you get used to it,
it's pretty easy.
It's actually quite fun, actually.
Yeah.
I get into it myself.
Yeah.
So you've had too much wine.
Yes.
Right.
Prior to dinner.
Take one to the hand.
Right.
And have you guys, so Saturdays, have it been super busy then too? You guys been kind of packed on the market?
Farmer's market?
Yeah, the market's great for it. Yeah. I mean, we're right front and center, so it's fantastic. I don't know, I haven't really been the last few because the markets, I feel like, have been slowing down from school happening, weather changing.
Yeah.
I really wish Edmonds would prolong the market almost year-round.
I know.
You know?
That's something that they kind of, they tried to do, right? They did like the holiday market.
Well, that was more.
And then they were doing the one down at, on like Wednesdays every once in a while down at where Salish Crossing.
I mean, I think the city has grown enough where I think it would support that. Yeah. Even if they just kind of shortened it and kept it on 5th, like right in front of City Hall.
Yeah.
Where nobody is in the weekends anyways.
Yeah.
I was interested in when they were talking about the revamp of the civic field, of creating even like some level of covered, not necessarily covered for the people, but covered for the booths so they don't get wet along there. And I don't know. I mean, obviously it's a fluid situation to a certain degree up there. And I don't know. I think the market brings a lot to the community. I mean, I know in other neighborhoods, they're big year round. Yeah. I mean, and they don't, you know, they're still busy throughout the year. And I think it's pretty great and adds a lot to the community. So, I mean, we obviously wouldn't be opposed to it. I mean, I think
like Ballard goes year round.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Yeah. And it's a pretty big market, actually. Yeah.
And you can always bring in food. And I mean, they always, it seems like a lot of those, like the vendors at the market that are, you know, like produce and stuff, seems like a lot of them kind of do like a lot of indoor growing too and stuff like that. And so it's like, it's sustainable throughout the year.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
So it'd be cool to have.
And there's some seasonal things that are good in the fall. You know, I mean, I think we lose track of that.
Squash,
mushrooms, apples. I mean, there's a whole series of like great produce that exists in the state that's you know procured during the fall months for sure.
Yeah, and same with like fish and like meats and like that's a big time for you know stuff like that.
Holidays are all in that season, so what's to stop you from getting some of your?
Start selling.
Let's go march down the street.
The Edmonds Museum puts on the market, so that's who we need to talk to. And also at the market, our market, we have a couple of breakfast bagel sandwiches now, or breakfast sandwiches. Yeah.
Because you had the salmon one, right?
We had the salmon one, but now we have ones that involve scrambled eggs and shrimp, or even a vegetarian one with avocado.
Nice.
Just because the market opens at 9, people want something more breakfasty, and we kind of just listen to our customers and
create. That's a nice option, because besides, I mean, Walnut has a couple nice breakfast options, and I guess the Red Twig has some stuff, but that's more sit down, so it's nice to have some more breakfast options.
Yeah, something you can grab and go right out the window while you're at the farmer's market.
Right.
Yeah. And are you guys going to keep the menu kind of the same, just adding specials in there, or do you think you're going to like kind of keep the menu fluid? Or
we'll probably move some things around. Yeah. You know, we'll never be able to take off the fish tacos or fish and chips or the lobster roll.
Lobster roll.
Please don't.
Or the chowder or the, you know.
It can only grow. I guess that's all it can have. It can only grow.
But, you know, like we might change the tostada to the ramen I was talking about, and we'll implement some auxiliary things like the bread bowl.
Yeah.
So it's something that's already on the menu, but we'll change the layout and give you the option of. But seasonality-wise, well, you know, we're still less than 3 months old.
Yeah.
And it's already kind of taken off for us, which is great. But still trying to figure out what people want to eat over there.
I think with in the beginning, we kind of just wanted to stay solid so they could kind of get their feet underneath them. And obviously, it was kind of a big rush at the beginning. So to let them kind of get that handled. But I think they're coming on them with some great specials. I mean, the whole, like he was mentioning, the breakfast sandwich has been, it's beautiful. So, I mean, I'm really liking the pictures on it. You see the pictures online, and it's kind of exciting. So, I think that obviously, like he said, we need to maintain some solid menu items. But I think Hans is opening to be a little more creative, and we just would like for that to exist, because it's, you want to keep warm. You know what I mean? You don't want any, it's nice to have something new every so often.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. And it's nice to, like, the idea of switching the seasons for like different, you know, the ramen bowl.
Yeah,
pretty
something. That's,
I mean, ramen
hot.
Can never really go wrong with it anyway. So,
Definitely.
And the thing with ramen is everybody has, just like lobster roll, their idea of ramen needs to be traditional, and we are not traditional people. We had complaints at Bar Dojo about our quote unquote ramen, and we just got blasted on Yelp.
Really?
Over and over again.
Oh, no.
By those people that think, ramen should be a certain way. I'm like, no, it doesn't have to be.
You
can go somewhere else for that.
There's a reason why it's like, right? It's like you're like an artist. Like, you don't have to, like, you're not stuck to one thing, right?
Right, definitely. Yeah, there's a ramen raider on Facebook or something like that. So where people go around and they go and try ramen everywhere. So almost like a ramen blog, but like... So to a certain degree, yes. They're very invested in ramen, so they just scoff at things that aren't quite exactly the way they want it. But at the same time, you know,
you still entertain
the idea.
I was going to say, if it tastes good.
If it tastes good, why bother complaining, right? Yeah, maybe it doesn't taste good to them. Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe they like cup of noodle instead. Yeah. So, hey, how's it going? Sorry, that's one of our guys.
So now we're talking about Bar Dojo. So you got the food truck now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what's the plan with the food truck?
Well, we're pretty open to looking at new locations. We're getting it set up right now. Schubert's working on a lot of that, paperwork, if you will.
So yet again, we're in permitting.
Yep.
For the food truck. This time the health department. So
seems to be the story of your guys' life.
Yeah, a lot of permitting. I hang out at the city of Edmonds a lot.
Yeah.
And Schubert's go to the health department quite a bit too. Yeah. So. Which is great. The people in the city are very helpful, and I've gotten to know a lot of them. But we're going to do, it's going to be an offshoot of Bar Dojo's menu, Asian tacos.
Yes.
And rice bowls.
Nice.
With like pork belly, the pork belly rice bowl with avocado rice we have over there will probably be on the truck.
Yeah.
And we'll likely have some wings as well. So just quick service stuff that you don't have to wait for, because the worst thing about a food truck is to order your order and it's like 15-20 minutes to get your food. You want it to be ready in less than 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Seriously. And that's like my biggest pet peeve if I go to a food truck. And because you think of a food truck, you think of quick and fast.
Yeah.
Kind of like the market. You know, it's like you're thinking like, I'm going to get my food quick, go back to work, do whatever. Because it's always people going to work usually. Yeah. And they're like,
and I get people that want really nice food out of a food truck, and that's why it takes a little longer. But, you know, we've chosen our delicious flavors that are quick enough and tasty enough to be able to serve upscale food truck food.
So are you trying to have like a, well, I know you, until you permits you can't really say, but is the goal obviously private events, but then somewhere in Edmonds that it parks?
We'll have a couple, we'll have
or like a rotation,
a schedule, a rotation, and a couple spots in downtown Edmonds, and maybe hit the medical buildings on Highway 99, and we'll do private events on Friday, Saturday evenings. A lot of the Snohomish wedding venues are kind of outdoors on farms, or they don't, you know, they might not have kitchens. And that's when we would be most widely used in the kind of the private events world. And also when, you know, we cater at Access Pioneer Square for Shibidu Catering, and a lot of the clients will order a food truck late night for late night snack.
Yeah.
So now you got another option you can add on there.
That's
really cool.
It's really, you know, a lot of it is because they want to sober up their guests. But at the same time, you know, some will order 150 Dick's Burgers and have it ready for the late night snack. And it's just kind of a nice touch to the end of a wedding.
Yeah.
I mean, and you also add it at any other party you want to do. I mean, in terms of like we do a party every year for our employees and of our companies, and we have someone come in and cater it for the most part, but how awesome would it be just to have a food truck sitting outside and everybody can just go out there and enjoy the food truck. So, you know, company parties, things like that might be a good opportunity for people to want to use it as well. I mean, those are options.
Our New Year's, it's usually on New Year's Day when everybody's closed, and you know, that's when we have our company party, and we've had Dante's Hot Dogs the last 3 years. As, you know, an auxiliary, we've always had something else, but Dante's just gets destroyed by our employees, for sure.
I love it.
It's so good.
Yeah, it really is.
It's nothing better than a solid hot dog.
No.
And then, so how did, whose idea was the food truck? Did it just, how did this come about? Did you just find a food truck randomly, like, for sale, and you're like, we should buy this?
Well, we always kind of, I mean, it was everybody's idea, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we had even before the market, we were talking about the idea of a food truck, just because, you know, it's an initial investment, and then you just kind of have to create a great environment for it. But at the same time, it's just, it's always a great extension of a restaurant.
Right.
I mean, you know, there's a lot of restaurants in town, in Seattle, for example, that have a full-blown, full-service restaurant, yeah. and then they have a food truck as well. It's just a good complement to our restaurant.
Well, and for Bar Dojo, the reason we did Taco Night was because we wanted something easy for people to eat, and Asian tacos have been quite the rave for the last, 10, 20 years.
I'm obsessed. I'll even send them to get them to go when the kids are
right? asleep. Yeah. And you know, this is where I tell the Yelpers, it's okay to make an Asian taco.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's okay to make
I think it's like one of the best things on that menu. Right? Yeah.
Anything tastes good, it's okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so Asian tacos would work great on a food truck. And on our website, it says if we were a food truck, this is what we would serve. And that's what Sunday night taco is all about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll still be able to get Sunday night tacos, but you'll also be able to get it elsewhere throughout the week.
Now. You can, yeah.
It was kind of cool, though, because when we actually purchased it, we went up to Bellingham to look at it, and I just happened to be up there at the time.
Yeah.
And so he called me up, and he said, oh, there might be an offer on this one, so you should go check it out. And so I made my way over to the port where he was housing it, and it was just like, it was really nice. So we're like, oh, it's going to work out. Yeah. But it's interesting to be in Bellingham because they have so many breweries up there that a lot of the places aren't food service. They just strictly have beer. And so what they've created is a culture of food trucks. Where they will just rotate through food trucks at the breweries, and so obviously that's something that if we find some places, a lot of the breweries in here do a lot more, or even in Snohomish County,
Hellbent does it, in Lake City,
but a lot of them will have food now.
Scoogum up in Arlington does it too. My friend works there.
Does he?
They bring in food trucks all the time.
Looking for those types of deals. I mean, we also are interested in like wineries too. So that's a whole nother.
The Woodenville.
Ball game.
Yeah.
The Woodenville.
I'm not going to lie. I'm excited to have Bar Dojo for lunch, basically. Right?
I was like,
I should go to Bar Dojo for lunch. I'm like, oh, no, it's not open for lunch. Right? It's only dinner. I'm like, this is pretty awesome to be able to get.
And that was the other idea is because, Five Corners is still quite sleepy, and there's not a lot of businesses around there. It's mostly residential.
Yeah.
And so we thought maybe if we had a food truck, we could bring lunch to you guys as customers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where, you know, who's going to drive Five Corners for lunch?
Well,
right?
I would.
Yeah. We originally did brunch there, and it just didn't pencil out.
Yeah.
It was a great brunch. I really enjoyed the brunch, but it's like, we had it down here, and so it was just one of those things where people weren't traveling up to Five Corners to do it. But
It's definitely a location that when you're home, everyone's kind of close to it then, right? Because at their house, and they can just go 5 minutes to it.
Or
I suppose if they're at work in Seattle or down here, it's
A
little more work.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But we've always wanted to have a lunch. It's just something that's not, it hasn't been feasible.
I blame it on the green awning. I blame it on that. That's it. That's my 2 cents about that.
Are you trying to get rid of, is this a hint?
Oh my God. Like when we moved in, we're like, maybe we should rewrap our portion of the awning to brown. And then it was going to cost so much money. We said, forget it.
Well, and there was rumors that it was going to be changed in such a set amount of time. And that was obviously not true.
It was a rumor.
Yeah,
there was a rumor.
Yeah.
All right. Well. Oh, and then timeline. So your first permitting is everything. So
we're open by the end of September. We'll have it up and running, and we'll
that's
know.
Soon.
Yeah, we'll know. Well, it's been almost over a month since we've had it. It's been that long already. But we'll have it hopefully up and running by September, and we'll be able to participate in some of the things like Halloween or the tree lighting or 4th of July.
Ooh, yeah.
We're going to miss the classic car show this weekend.
Yeah.
But usually they have food trucks or some food vendors for that. And
that'll be awesome.
And then we'll know the locations where we'll be at. So we'll post it on our website. It'll be an extension of Bar Dojo's website, but it has its own social media tags, and we'll be shouting that out.
Can follow the food truck.
Yeah,
follow the food truck.
And can you go? So can you go? Do you have to be like in a parking lot? Is that how it works? Can you not just pull up like on the sidewalk here in Edmonds?
No, you can't. Yeah, Edmonds doesn't have that ordinance for food service on the street yet.
Yeah.
We can talk to Parks and Rec and possibly park it down at the Edmonds Beach Marina by the dog park. There used to be a hot dog stand there.
I think someone's been there this summer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, there are those things.
Ice cream, though.
Yeah.
So there's another thing we got to get changed at Edmonds. We got to get so you can just pull up a food truck anywhere.
Right.
Start
good luck
dishing
with that.
Out. Yeah,
maybe you could just put one of those like ice cream man musical things on the truck and just drive around.
Yeah. And if
not really park.
And if things go great. are you going to take it on the Food Truck Wars? What's that show that you have? The oh, Food man, Truck Race, right? Yeah. Yeah. You can put.
I'll ask Luis about that.
TV famous.
Right? Yeah.
Chef Luis nerd. From Bar Dojo will be the one, spearheading this project.
Okay.
I'm just trying to get it operational, and he'll be running it.
Cool.
Yeah, he's been working really hard at getting it all spiffy. And I mean, it's a quality truck, but he's been getting it ready and getting all the things in place so he's ready to go. Yeah.
Making it the own Bar Dojo truck.
Exactly.
Chef Luis has been one of our most original and oldest chefs with us in the company, because he started at Bar Dojo when we opened it.
Oh, wow.
And he's helped open the market, and now he's helping open the food truck. So it's a natural selection for that guy.
Yeah. Keeping him busy, right?
He's got the passion for it, though. It shows in his food.
Yeah, absolutely.
You ask a lot of people, what's your favorite restaurant out of all the ones we own? A lot of times we get Bar Dojo as the answer because it's so unique.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the happy hours always got like the Ferrito and the the Ninja hot dog, and I mean, there's so much
pork belly nachos.
Oh yeah, how could I forget those?
Well, do I have a story? So we did a menu change, and we had moved a bunch of stuff off or on the menu, and one of the menu items was the pork belly bowl, and I got taken off. I'm like, huh, okay, well, you know, I trust the chef and he knows what he's doing. Everything he makes is great. But we hadn't realized how big of a following after that pork belly bowl was. And so, power of the Edmonds Moms community, my wife had no less than like 7 or 10 text messages saying, why is the pork belly bowl gone? And I finally decided to look at the product mix, and I'm like, wow, that's like the number 5 selling item on our menu. Why did we take it off? We got to put it back on, and less than 24 hours later, it was back on.
So I put it on very quickly.
Yeah.
I shifted a few things around. Yeah.
I don't want to mess with the Edmonds Moms.
That Facebook page is vicious.
Oh, yeah,
I shouldn't say vicious, passionate.
Passionate. I do think that's the hard part about trying to stay fresh is that, you know, if you're going to put some new stuff on, you always have to take something off.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the challenge with him up there, is it's always a constant. And then something new like the, you know, the nachos might not ever be on the menu if we never would have taken something off.
Yeah.
So it's like, you got to give a little.
You don't want like the Cheesecake Factory menu. It's like, what 25 pages do you want to eat? Like, well.
Which, by the way, they just opened in Alderwood Mall.
I was telling us, like, have you seen that menu? It's insane.
Yeah. It's
how can they possibly keep up with ordering?
For everybody. Yeah, they run a huge operation there.
Yeah.
But I get Luis, you know, he probably gets bored of cooking the same thing.
Yeah.
He wants to create new items.
Yeah. Well, and it's exciting when you go to eat to, like, have new things to try. And obviously you miss the favorites, and maybe they come back in 6 months or something.
Yeah.
So, I'm a big
fan of changing.
The wings
have been a big, huge thing that he's had challenges with, because he's got a component for every type of wing that he's made.
Yeah.
Wow. People want this one, people want that one, people want that one. Yeah. So it's like he's kind of created a little bit of a conundrum for himself there.
A monster.
Yeah.
A wing monster.
I'm kind of the original myself. Sweet fried chicken.
Yes.
But no offense to any of the other ones. But
I've never actually had the wings yet up there, because I always go the ramen bowls and stuff.
Yeah.
And the pork.
Yeah.
And the pork belly.
That was always mine.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, anything else? Anything else you guys want? Any events coming up? Things you want to throw out there?
Events. We have 4 events. We just cater the
Cascadia
Art Gallery.
Oh, nice.
Gala. Mm-hmm. 350 guests, and they raised a lot of money. I think it was almost $400,000
that
they raised.
Wow.
And that was a great success. So we're happy to be involved in that and helping the community out. We will be doing a food drive for the Edmonds Foundation.
Nice.
Edmonds School District Foundation. And they provide canned foods and other food and, you know, toiletry or necessities to families of low income that can't afford these things, and kids that don't have the means to have 3 full meals a day.
Yeah.
And so coming up in November, you'll hear about this food drive where we collect cans at all our locations, Shibidu Catering, Salt and Iron Market, and Bar Dojo, and maybe in the food truck, which is going to be called Dojo to Go, we believe. We're working on that still. And then we will match the number of cans that the general public donates at the end of that.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
So it's going to start from November 1st and go up to Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So during that month of giving.
Awesome.
We're going to
spread the word. So people can bring their cans in.
Yes.
And obtain the cake.
Yeah. And both our, you know, both our wives work as teachers in the school district. Mm-hmm. So we have a great interest in helping out mm-hmm. the local community in that way.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
By canned foods.
And the schools in general are just always need extra help. I mean, everything's so underfunded and budgets and stuff. Mm-hmm. So
it's true.
That's awesome to be able to help out and give back. And
right.
Yeah, that's something sometimes you look at Edmonds and it's this shiny little jewel, which it is. Mm-hmm. But there's components of the area that have some serious like financial challenges. And,
right.
You know, and so some of the schools have challenges with that and they don't have a PSO and they don't have any, just because there's just a lack of people that can do it. Yeah. And so as a result, it's like kids need things, and there's still poverty in our area, even though
there's
a lot of, so we just need to be aware of that as well and help with that. So.
Yeah, that's right. Awesome.
So if you guys can donate as many cans as possible.
Bring your cans in.
I was hoping for at least 5,000 cans.
Yeah.
And then we would donate as many, just as many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you'd probably need more.
Yeah.
Hit up Costco.
Yeah.
So, and then we'll end it on. So, have you had any funny reviews about the market? Has anyone said anything that's just like ridiculous about the market at this point?
Oh, yeah.
I know we've had some other stuff from other places. What's the most ridiculous thing you've heard since you opened the market?
You know, the most common complaint is whether or not the lobster roll is a lobster roll, right?
Yeah.
Or the fish and chips could have been better, or they were the best, and
or they were too greasy.
Yeah.
Some food quality challenges. I think some people's perception of what it was going to be, just at least locally, was a little bit skewed, just because it's a totally different thing than we've done before.
So yeah.
It kind of gives, you know, they think of a sit down restaurant when they think of us. Mm-hmm. As far as
we haven't gotten any bathroom complaints yet.
Oh, that's good.
Which is very common in our restaurants, apparently. Yeah. People just can't find the bathroom for the life of them.
You can't find it in there. There's only so many places to look.
That's true. Although we have had people meander upstairs for some reason.
I was just going
to
ask
had
that.
Had to put a big sign.
Yeah, I saw the sign on there, though.
Please don't go upstairs. So just an office. There's nothing fun up there. But yeah.
You know, you could make it something up there. Like, it could be an experience. Like,
there you go.
Go upstairs and...
maybe you could raffle.
Yeah, have a raffle.
The private dining room.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Once I think that's what people thought.
It could be like the canless dining room. Like, for an extra $10, you can go sit upstairs.
$10? Yeah. Well, I do more than that.
But you can't, like, do it, like, you know, crazy. Right. It's just...
Oh, I was thinking raffle, like, raise money for something.
Oh, really? Yeah, you could do that, yeah.
I mean, one of the funny reviews that I'm just seeing right off the bat is... You know, quirky new eatery in downtown Edmonds. My husband is the fish and chips expert. So he was anxious to try it because the menu said it was served with mushy peas, which he discovered in Ireland and loves. But, you know, he found the batter a little greasy and the peas more chopped up. But, you know, how does someone become a fish and chips expert?
Fish and chip expert.
You know, ironically, my cousin is a fish and chips expert because he goes to London, like, quite often.
Yeah. Okay.
Spends a lot of time.
Yeah.
Was that your cousin that wrote that?
No.
Because my cousin on the other side of it is like, this is probably the best fish and chips I've ever had. It even comes with the mushy peas. And he was extremely stoked about it. He had no insight into it. So he, you know, we take that as a compliment. So he can have his opinion.
No crazy ones yet. It's only been less than 3 months, but I'm sure we'll get a few.
When the crazy ones come in.
Yeah, we'll let you know.
Maybe after this podcast when people...
If you have a crazy review, please go leave it. Also leave a positive star rating.
Positive star rating,
We want positive.
We like positive.
So.
We'd like to hear your full name in that review, please.
Full name and number and email.
Yeah.
So they can contact you.
All right. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, definitely.
And congratulations on the market and all the success you've had with it. And can't wait to see the food truck. Yeah. Try it out.
It's coming up.
It's coming.
Yeah. Dojo to go?
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
Okay. To be determined.
Yeah.
TBD.